Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this, get this, February the 28th on the West Coast, now March the 1st on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Although officially we're saying this is the February the 28th show. Like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Lots of aberrant weather, people getting lots of rain, lots of wind, lots of hail, sleet, snow. My goodness, so much that we couldn't even see the chemtrails. And I have to tell you, I spent the weekend doing some research, not really paying attention to the media lies that we're accustomed to. Couldn't see any point in it, but I made some really, really interesting discoveries. And that'll be coming out in some upcoming work. We may even mention some of that on tonight's show. There are numerous disinfo campaigns working simultaneously. And I think those that do the dirty deeds are very, very nervous about getting caught, because we are uncovering the truth about many things going on. Despite what the media tells you, the stories behind the scenes are quite a bit different. And there's a lot of murder going on, a lot of plotting, a lot of conniving. It's certainly orchestrated, especially what's going on in the Middle East, Libya now. And there are reports that ships filled with Marines are heading out that way. What does it matter? They've been doing this for years. They've been doing it for a few hundred years, actually. So the difference is that we're hearing about it. If it's true, we'll find out. They're certainly interested in creating another war. And they should remember that with all they put out, it all comes back.
Keep it up.
Yes, and the words of Tower of Power, it all comes back. All of it is going to come back. The whole world's watching what's going on. And as these madmen continue to plunder and pillage the U.S. Treasury, the banks, Federal Reserve is, that's a different story. But the wars that are cropping up, a lot of interesting things being done with technology worldwide to affect the weather, earthquakes. Food is, it's just as good as it's ever been on this planet. Medicine, the same thing. Now we're hearing rumors that they might start drilling for oil in the United States. They might start producing oil while they play their financial games. We're going to talk about some of these things tonight, I'm sure, and more with tonight's guest. He hosts his own show on the microeffect.com, the story behind the story. He also hosts his own website, atruot.com, and that's because that's his name. And he's with us tonight, Dr. Atruot, and I'll leave off the .com. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Don. Good to hear your voice again, and it's a pleasure to be on the show with you tonight.
Thank you. What's going on in your world, True, if I might ask you? I'm sure everyone is kind of interested, those that don't get to listen to your show in the mornings.
Well, we've been pretty, hammering pretty hard, as you know, Don, the story of the real cause of what's going on over there in the Middle East. Beginning with, of course, Tunisia, then going into Egypt, et cetera, et cetera. You know, all of these Middle Eastern countries, especially the oil-producing countries, Libya, Saudi Arabia, of course, to a certain degree, Egypt, all of these Middle Eastern countries are tied to the United States dollar as their reserve currency. And what this means basically is when you have an excess of U.S. dollars being given out, either in even if it's in loans or just actual aid, and we're talking here about 17 or so trillion dollars that's off the balance sheet, according to Bernanke's review and others in the Senate and the House reviews. When you have this going out, what you have is food inflation, and that's really the root cause of the rioting. If you really know behind the scenes, it's people concerned about not only the rising cost of food, but also the scarcity of food. And yes, there's a youth movement that is clearly funded by our own Central Intelligence Agency. And this, again, goes back to Condoleezza Rice when she was Secretary of State under Bush. We see all of this this funding of the so-called April 6th youth movement in Egypt. We see the ties, of course, to Gaddafi. And I talked about this on my show this morning, Don. It's just funny how you see Muammar Gaddafi's regime becoming very, very close to the Bush administration. In fact, I quoted a Time magazine article that was published in 2006, basically declaring that Gaddafi is now a good guy. He's wearing a white hat because he's very much a fan favorite now of W. Bush and the war on terror. Okay, the pot calling the kettle black? The man, really, the instigator of terror and the blowing up of the airliner over Lockerbie, Scotland. I mean, that it's obviously they were deeply involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Reagan dealt with that, but the approval from H.W. Bush is what? Confirmation that Gaddafi, too, is a reptilian?
Well, yeah. The correspondent that wrote the article for Time Life, I'm sorry, Time Magazine, this gentleman was actually sent or headquartered there in Cairo, Egypt, and he wrote the story about going into Libya and meeting with Gaddafi in his Bedouin tent, of all things. And then explained exactly how the interview went down, that Gaddafi said, now W. Bush is realizing what I've been knowing all along. I am a freedom fighter, Gaddafi said. I am no different than anybody else that wants to see freedom.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Quite an amazing story.
I guess that makes us all dictators then, doesn't it? If he's no different.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It really is.
I think any overtures with him, I mean, do we really know what's going on? I mean, you can't trust the mainstream media for what's really happening. Is that their excuse for being in Libya so they can funnel money through there?
You know. Good point. This is the May 16th, 2006 Time Magazine article. It's actually I printed it out just to share it tonight. It's entitled "Why Gaddafi's Now a Good Guy," by Scott McLeod. / out of Cairo, Tuesday, May 16, 2006. He writes, quote, "When I called on Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi in his Bedouin tent last year," that first sentence, he just goes and calls on him. I mean, it's
at like his tent.
At his tent.
He was out camping.
Yeah. And he says he was, quote, "at pains to explain how he and President Bush were on the same wavelength. In all his years as a bad boy in the eyes of the West," he said, "Libya was simply doing what Bush did when he invaded Iraq." Quote, "Bush is saying that America is fighting for the triumph of freedom," Gaddafi said between sips of tea. "When we were supporting liberation movements around the world, we were arguing that it was for the victory of freedom, too. We both agree. We are fighting for the cause of freedom." Isn't that kind of interesting? Now, of course, we have Hillary Rodham Clinton, Rotten Clinton, publicly demanding that he step down and that he give up his power. Well, what right does Hillary Rodham Clinton have for demanding anybody, no matter how much of a dictator they are? What gives her the power to demand anything?
Well, to use her phrase from the Monica Lewinsky days, it sounds like a left-wing conspiracy.
You think? This McLeod article, he goes on to write, quote, "At the time, it may have sounded like the typical ramblings of the Libyan leader," because this was back in 2004, 2005. It was well after the invasion of Iraq in 2003. So he says, "At the time, it may have sounded like the typical ramblings of the Libyan leader, but now, a year later, 2006, Gaddafi and Bush do apparently see eye to eye. On Monday," he writes, "Gaddafi accomplished one of history's great diplomatic turnarounds when Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice announced that the U.S. was restoring full diplomatic relations with Libya and held up the great socialist peoples, Libyan, Arab, Jamahira, as, quote, a model for others to follow.
What exactly is that? And while you're at it, he's fighting for freedom from what?
Well, that's the, you know, it depends on what side of the fence you are as to whether you're a terrorist or whether you're a freedom fighter. Now he's a terrorist again, evidently. You know, he's this evil dictator monarch. But the ruling junta there in Libya that Gaddafi is, you know, brought to the forefront is it's called the Great Socialist Peoples, Libyan Arab Jamahira. Okay, so according to this article, Condoleezza Rice actually said back in 2006, this is, quote, the model for others to follow. Wow. Hmm. Rice attributed, this article goes on to say, Rice attributed the ending of the U.S.'s long break in diplomatic relations to Gaddafi's historic decision in 2003 to dismantle weapons of mass destruction and renounce terrorism, as well as Libya's, quote, excellent cooperation in response to common global threats faced by the civilized world since September 11th, 2001. How can a known terrorist, exporter of murder and mayhem, suddenly become bedmates with Condoleezza Rice and the Bush administration? Could that possibly be because Bush administration is no different than Gaddafi? And there's no, you know, it's just amazing, Don, that Americans, for the most part, seem to have forgotten this history of just 5 years ago.
Well, there's got to be something there that Gaddafi is helping them with the transport of all the illegal drugs that they're smuggling around the world. That might be why they're in, you know, good grace with each other, or that's just the spin anyway, you know.
Well, McLeod here uses a very interesting euphemism, Don, when he says, quote, but as much as the Bush administration would like to believe it, Gaddafi's decision to come in from the cold was not simply a response to the war on terror and the U.S.'s toppling of Saddam and the Taliban regime in Afghanistan before that. That's a CIA euphemism, to come in from the cold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's like you're if you're out on out in the Netherlands of the CIA's reach, and if you're a renegade agent and you come back to the fold, it's called coming in from the cold. This is quite an interesting Time magazine article. Mm. He goes on to write, says, quote, in Time interviews with key Libyan players, including three with Gaddafi going back before 9/11, it was clear that other important factors were also at work. Foremost among them was the collapse of the Soviet Empire, which brought down Gaddafi's once powerful friends in capitals like Moscow, Prague, and Bucharest. Another important factor was the rise of Islamic fundamentalists in the Middle East, which resulted in extremist attacks in Libya and against Gaddafi.
Hmm. Okay, True, we lost your audio there for a second. Hopefully you're still there with us. I'm not hearing you at the moment, so you must be saying something they don't want you to hear.
Oh, golly, can you hear me at all?
There you are now. Yeah, you just totally went into cyberspace and disappeared.
Well, that that happens all too often, I'm afraid. So anyway, what did you hear me say last?
Well, your last sentence, I couldn't tell you. My thoughts went to where's true, so I didn't pay so much attention specifically. But you were talking about the connection to Afghanistan and coming back to Libya, and the fact that he's written a good article, and he's revealing some things that show the true connection. At least if you can compare what's going on and who's behind the scenes doing everything, I would say they're implying today that Bush is behind what's going on in Libya. That has to do with the massive amount of embezzlement that's going on. I would think if you're looking for some input from me, I would think a lot of this has to do with trying to find a place to move money. And the unrest there is sort of the smokescreen, so nobody pays attention to diplomats going over there, especially with suitcases filled with bonds. I don't know. What do you think, or do you suspect that that's part of what's going on?
Well, I think I'm more of a macro view, Don. I don't know if it's quite that simplistic. You're talking about, to me, it just seems like if you look at the Middle East, North Africa, and this into pieces of a chessboard, mm-hmm. you know, you're looking at control of the Straits of Hormuz. Of course, that's Iran, but you need the bases there in Libya. You also need to have the Suez Canal now. You know, the whether you like it or not, Mubarak was kind of a moderate, and he really made sure that the Iranian Navy would not be able to use the Suez Canal for transporting ships and material of war. And it just seems funny that week after that.
Okay, I lost you again, True. If you're there, stay there.
Well, I haven't got anywhere.
Okay, now you're back. All right. You just kind of faded out there.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
We're not doing anything. I think part of it, I'm not saying that's the all of it, though, but I think, you know, would be like, well, you know, if you expect me to allow you to use Libya as a staging ground for attacks or something on, say, Iran. This all seems to be like they're trying to create a periphery around Iran.
Well, what I was getting at is you've got the two factions of the Muslim host. You've got the Shiite, the Shia versus the Sunni, and I think that's the thing we have to look at here. As you go back and look at this 2006 article and then piece together the, you know, the extremists, okay, who the Muslim extremists are, you know, they are the primarily the Shia law, which are really the extremists. Now, if Libya goes Shia, Iran is Shia, it looks like Egypt and Suleiman and that whole group there is Shia. Those are the ones that can foment some very rabid discourse, you know, discord among the Arab nations there. And of course, is it all against Israel? No, not at all. Israel is just sitting back wanting these factions to fight among themselves. Keep in mind, Iran and Iraq in that decade-long war was Shiite against Sunni. the Iranians are Shia, the Iraqis Sunni, and they want to keep them fighting and going amongst each other, because that's in their mind what weakens them. And keep in mind also that there's a very, very large, sizable Persian group of Jews, okay, that are I believe personally that they are the true lineage of the Jews there. The ones that are in Israel are really the Ashkenazi. The Jews of Persia.
So you're saying the Sephardic Jews then?
The Sephardic, yeah. The true bloodline. Now, this is where the Western media, which is so controlled by these Ashkenazi false Jews, the Jews who say they are Jews but who are not, just like the Book of Revelations tells us. Okay, this group of Sephardic Jews in Persia really want to see these Ashkenazis exposed and brought down. When you hear all this propaganda tripe where Ahmadinejad supposedly said that he wanted to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth, not true, ladies and gentlemen. His speech is, and he has said it and reiterated it again, he's talking about regime change. He's talking about getting these true terrorists to be taken down and let the true Jews rule. I mean, that's what it's about in Israel. The Palestinians, ladies and gentlemen, the bloodline of the Palestinians are closer to the Sephardic Jews than they are to the Ashkenazi Rothschild clan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality.
Any war that was ever financed by the Ashkenazis was always started under the pretext of blaming it on somebody who didn't actually start it. You know, it was instigated by them, by their own agents.
Indeed.
And that's the same thing we have going on here. Isn't it interesting how these WikiLeaks documents, which I have not read one, I have to tell you. I'm not interested in reading it because it's designed to cause you to consider any number of thousands of issues that are probably all not true. Or spun to be blamed on someone who had nothing to do with it again. Mm-hmm. And then they make Julian Assange the scapegoat of it, we'll say. And it's quite obvious that whole thing is an intel operation too. So you have that going on. Then you have, I'm not saying it's that people aren't actually rioting, but it's kind of interesting how for years and years they did nothing, and then suddenly, like somebody threw a switch, they all start rioting in these huge numbers. 2 million people. You can't get 1 million people to go to Washington, D.C. to protest what's going on. And I mean for real protesting. I don't mean on a weekend. On a with a bike ride and a picnic thrown in. What we're hearing is not true, but that doesn't mean that they're not trying to ramp up the chaos. Basically, that's what you were talking about, the macro picture of the whole thing.
That's my take on it, Donnie. Yeah. If you just happen to shut off a little bit of supply of oil and you ramp up the price at the pump in America, well, look who gets more windfall profits again. This is the thing that just blows me away. It really is not affecting the supply of oil in America, but it surely is affecting the price. And can we get the same old? Well, even though we don't get any oil from Libya, China does, and it's disrupting to China, so China's buying up and the futures and driving it upwards again. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what if, again, it goes back to the $17 trillion of money out of thin air, U.S. dollars out of thin air. If you have OPEC nations, okay, Libya being one of them, Saudi Arabia, if you have your oil reserves being purchased with U.S. dollars, China wants to buy oil, they have to come first and buy dollars to buy the oil. Okay, that's the way it works when you have the reserve currency. You see, if you have $100 billion in a month of U.S. dollars, and then the worldwide supply of dollars is inflated, there's more dollars that are just created out of thin air. Don't you see, ladies and gentlemen, the real cost of oil, the intrinsic value of oil based on the U.S. dollar to the Arab nations is very much decreased. It's deflated. Now,
yes,
that is what's happening here, and I believe that is a major cause for the price increases. And it just makes sense, ladies and gentlemen, that OPEC is very soon to drop, to flat out drop the dollar as the reserve currency and the contract pricing of the barrels of oil. Now, if it goes to if it's dropped from being priced as U.S. dollars and goes to, say, like the Chinese yuan or the renminbi, what you have immediately is inflation at the gas pump. You'll see gas going to $10 and more a gallon very rapidly, Don.
Yeah, you know, there's a misconception, and it's probably because of the images they show us when they talk about OPEC. If you remember 10, 20 years back, they would show these OPEC meetings, and you had guys dressed up like extras from the movie Hidalgo sitting at a table talking about something that they hadn't talking about a business that they hadn't been involved in all that long. And the conditions through which the world's oil moguls went into their country and countries and began teaching them and setting them up with the infrastructure to pump and refine oil, they were forced to buy into these 30-year bonds. And when it came due in 2008, I believe it was August of 2008, was the 30-year period, they drove the price of oil down intentionally in the market so that they couldn't make money selling oil, which put them in a quandary. Now they got ripped off on the bonds, and then they were ripping them off. I've heard it from numerous sources that Bush himself is one of the members of the board of the OPEC committee that makes these decisions on what they're going to charge for oil. They're told what to charge for it. And is it a coincidence that they stop pumping it here in the States and say, well, you know, back when we were big oil producer, it cost us somewhere around $8 to $10 a barrel to pump the oil. Now we can't do that. It's going to cost us over $18. We can't afford to do it, which was a lie. It was just the story that they told. So this comes now on the heels of a crashing of the oil prices, which put a hurt on their ability to make money like they were making. And guess what? They probably were playing put options on the OPEC market going down the tubes.
Indeed. And it goes back to the this massive oil field that has been blocked, mapped by means of the HARP technology pioneered by Atlantic Richfield Corporation, first of all. But even the most conservative figures from the U.S. Geological Survey, Don, show this to be at least as big as the Saudi Arabian oil fields. And some reports I have seen show it to be as much as 5 to 6 times bigger. Basically as much as, not more than, in all of the Middle East combined. Now, this is enough, ladies and gentlemen, at the oil levels that are being consumed now at 2011 rates, the Bakken oil fields that they're saying has enough to power this country for 2,000 years. So why in heaven's name aren't we pumping and refining this oil now? See, it just goes back, Don, to the same reason why they refuse to allow hydrogen power, water powered cars to run on the highways. It's not about the environment. It's not about, you know, the cheap, plentiful oil that we have here in this great country of America. It's about control and worldwide dominion. And it goes back again to these banksters, these absolute rotten non-human entities that are making the decisions.
Yeah, and they have to create a war to justify why they're doing it ultimately, because the situation has to be chaotic over there for them to try to sell this story to us in the first place. They're just going to try to bankrupt everybody.
And, indeed.
You know, think of the businesses that are highly dependent on fuel prices. You know, are they getting secret bailout money behind the scenes to go along with it? You know, the Federal Expresses and UPS, for example, who operate their business on fuel, whether they're driving or flying what they ship around the world. And then look at the truck drivers that are going to be impacted. Those that drive professionally are going to really suffer. I mean, it's quite obvious right now what's intended. When are people going to finally say, hey, that ain't going to happen?
I don't know, Don. There's people that should know better too that are just not. I don't. They're just like gone missing in action. You know what I mean? I can't. I don't know. I can't figure out the ins and outs of certain craziness, but it's out there.
And then you know, you have this simultaneous raiding of all the pensions, and the unions. And I'm not saying whether unions are good or bad. That becomes a political argument. Any union that I'm familiar with collected a lot of money in collecting dues. And yes, they said, oh, we want more money for our workers, and or we want more vacation time or these benefits or whatever. But they're going in and raiding all the pensions. What makes anyone think that in the long run the union has any power? Because when they consolidate all those people under one entity, all they have to do is stop the entity. You know, and it seems like people all over the place are sort of just condoning what's going on. Now, there are people upset about what's happening with pensions, but what's really being done about it? You know, people don't just make these accusations that they've stolen hundreds of millions of dollars in pensions. Think of all the state-sponsored programs, the public employees, those working in the school systems, for example, who should be collecting a pension, and those that are about to retire. And they're trying to get people to retire early. Why is that? You know, you would think they'd retire and start collecting their pension, but the intention is to not make that money available to them. If that's happening now, what's going to happen when you have more people being worked out of the system while they try to consolidate everything again? It's what they're doing with the schools, too. They're running the schools from the Pentagon. You know? And they put the power of the National Education Association in the hands of Stanford Research Institute, where a lot of this stuff is thought up, at least in terms of biological weapons that they develop, and the mind control and the propaganda and the brainwashing and the indoctrination in the schools that they call education. Don't mean to rant. I'm just...
Oh, no, it's right on.
I'm hitting some of the major points. I mean, that's what's really going on with the money. Not to even get into the real estate. Holy cow. I mean, if you want to take over a country, you're eventually going to take over their land. They've set it up so they can just steal the land and distribute the actual ownership secretly to whatever country they want, because those people are skimming off these trillions as well. Now, if the Fed reports $17 trillion, Drew, how much do you really think it is?
Indeed. And you know, I'm just I get emails. You know what I'm talking about, Don. Certain individuals, they don't get it. They say they don't care about this money. And some people, I don't see, you know, I don't know why they don't get it. I really don't. They don't care about $17 trillion being passed off as bogus. If you don't care about that, ladies and gentlemen, if it's too much for you to handle, then you might as well just kiss it all goodbye. Because there's nothing... It's all about money with these people. It's all about creating a climate of collapse. All right, and that's why it's so important to go back to the very basics of sound economy. Sound government really means creating sound, honest money. It's the basis of what government does, ladies and gentlemen. Just flat out, I can't believe people would email me, Don, and say they don't care about $16 or $17 trillion going bye bye. Excuse me, what else? You know, that's why they're doing it. That's why these people are involved in these wars and killing people. It's, you know, it's the love of money, ladies and gentlemen, is indeed the root of all evil. And it's the root of all wars. It's the reasons why we fought world wars, ladies and gentlemen, and why we're being positioned to fight a third one. So you better make sure you understand it, and you better care about it, because that's what it's all about.
You know, there's going to come a time pretty soon where all of this stuff we've been talking about, not just on this show, not just on your show, many other talk show hosts and journalists out there that are reporting the truth and have their finger on the truth. All of these things are going to come out. They have to, and they will. They're coming out. I'm dismayed every day when I see how many people are responding to what the mainstream media puts out. And yet, they know that they lie. They also talk about the fact that they lie about everything. Mm-hmm. The song I played to open the show tonight talks about that. That very thing. It all comes back. And it's coming back right now. And we have to be aware that that's happening. Because there are going to be some unpleasant things happening and allowed to happen if people don't pay attention to it. How do you think, you know, what do most people think the reason is that so many people are becoming ill and strange illnesses, respiratory problems that they never had? I don't want to say it's pandemic, because I don't want to use their language. I don't want to give power to their lies. But there were a lot of people who are sick, and most attribute it to the chemtrail spraying. That we can be sure. Think of what else that we don't know they're spraying. Why should we trust them? They lie about everything. They lie, 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 lie. And then we expect that they're telling us the truth when we hear news about what's going on. To some extent, there are things going on in other parts of the world, but the real reasons why these are going on have nothing to do with it. Now, what do you suppose is the real reason behind so many millions of people being evicted from their homes, foreclosed on their homes, with no equity? The equity is stolen. The bank moves in at bargain basement prices and takes over the property that they were already making a killing on in the beginning. Mm-hmm. What do you think when that really sinks in and it happens to either happens to enough people or somebody finally wakes up and figures it out and people catch on? What do you think they're going to blame that on?
Well, I kind of think it has to do is you trace the money. I've done this to a certain degree, but there's a company, it's called Recon Trust. Mm-hmm. Recon Trust. Are you aware of Recon Trust?
The name company. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it goes back to the Bank of America, the B of A, and the bonds that were purchased basically by the Chinese. Now, Recon Trust Company is California based. I've talked with, I'm not sure if he'll go on my show or not. He's Layton, the city of Layton, Utah. He's the mayor. His name's Steve Curtis. This is a front page news story in today's Salt Lake Tribune. This is what it just says. A fortnight before Christmas, Layton Mayor Steve Curtis came home to a foreclosure notice tacked to his front door saying his family's home would be sold January 18th at auction. 2 months earlier, he and his wife, Ray Lynn, had been notified by California-based Recon Trust Company that foreclosure proceedings had begun on their home. Yet, get this, ladies and gentlemen, they had never missed a payment. They weren't in the default. Their payments had been made all along. And according to Steve Curtis, I think there were two or three lates, but there was nothing outstanding whatsoever as far as any late fees.
He was up to date, you're saying?
Yeah, he's up to date. So he's been fighting this legal battle, and as he's been working this since January 18th, trying to save his home, he's had to file lawsuits, had to get money to hire attorneys to fight it, and he's come to find out that this is happening to millions of people across the country. They're not even in default. That is scary.
Well, that's part of these Ponzi schemes where they pool all these mortgages and then they pawn them off to another country. You see?
And so, yeah, what do you do? Well, my goodness, if I had to come home and see a foreclosure notice that I, you know, and I'd paid all my payments, I'm sitting there. There'll be a fight. There'll be some bullets, you know, fired. This may be what this might have to come down to. Why should you have to even go to court and pay all this money to show that they have no right to take it over? Now, and basically the argument is, well, because we've sold the debentures, we have packaged them up, we have sold them to undisclosed Party B or even Party C, and Party C wants basically to take possession.
Well, there's already case law in Cleveland, Ohio over that. So, in favor of those that were foreclosed upon. And Deutsche Bank got in all kinds of hot water over that. I mean, you just described what I just explained to the listening audience. Mm-hmm. This is nothing but a bunch of Ponzi schemes. And if they're first of all, this man got drug into it because they knew he had the ability to pay a lawyer. You see, they needed some action. And at the same time, try to intimidate other people who might consider doing the same thing. But they must know that they have a judge or two in their pocket that they would do that there. That's what they're doing. They're lumping these things together. The MERS programs, that started around 2006. They started doing that. And they gave it 2 years to start crashing while they put all these things together.
And they I was just going to add,
they have banks calling people, asking them for information, banks that they don't do business with, about their address or, you know, certain specific information, probably even their social security number. And they were making claims that this was a provision in the Patriot Act. Give me a break.
And yet the Federal Reserve can go and print up. And I don't think it's even printed. It's just you know, widgets in a computer. I mean, it's computer debit entries going out $17 plus trillion that just happened to be caught by a glance into how they work. I mean, hello, what is ever created by these bank mortgages to begin with? That's the thing that just really, really is amazing. Is it somebody's savings they're using here in the fractional reserve equation? Absolutely not, ladies and gentlemen. It's nothing but a keystroke bank entry on a computer screen.
Yes, the reason why you hear about these pushes to bring Muslim people here as refugees is because they're owed the money. And they're pulling these swindles behind people's back. The average person has no clue, Drew, as to what's going on. And even when they seek legal guidance, legal assistance, and representation, most of the attorneys don't even know what's going on. Or if they do, they're not going to spill the beans, because they have to spill the beans on the judges. And they themselves might want to become a judge one day. You know, I see the judge as the banker. He's the banker of the whole racket.
Yeah. And, you know, I just like that. I was thinking about that movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze. And you know, he was, the story goes, he was killed because his partner was involved in transferring illegal funds through a computer codes. Right. That's how modern day laundering is done. You don't really, you know, it's not the days of the gangsters taking their gambling, you know, dollars into the banks anymore. And the larger scale swindles is just a matter of bank codes. And the illegal banks, the banks that make it happen for the crime lords, okay? And again, if you go back to what I posted 2 weeks ago on my website, Zions Bank of Salt Lake City, you know, that story is huge. Fined $8 million because of the billions of dollars of money laundering entries done. How many other banks there are you hearing investigators leveling fines and that this nature, and it's ludicrous, really, because again, it just goes back to a computer system entry. Oh, you want $8 million? Okay, boop, We'll transfer it over from bank to bank. Say the Federal Reserve just creates this money in the computer systems now out of thin air. It's absolutely crazy.
And when they set up a lot of these shell corporations that are going to serve basically as places to set up offshore accounts so they can funnel money into those accounts and keep them off the books. And some of the brokers, say in New York on Wall Street, alert red flags to their bosses. They're often told, look, we can't disclose this. I'm just paraphrasing some of the things they say, but we can't disclose this to anyone, to our customers especially. You can't even let on that you're aware of this, because if this news got out, then these Arab countries would stop putting their dollars into these programs. I mean, this went on for a long, long time. And you have to presume that right within our own government, the same types of deals are going on. GM being one, IndyMac and Countrywide and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, all of those programs were part of the corruption. Bear Stearns is another one. How do these huge, huge companies that have trillions of dollars just suddenly fold up under the guise of they need help or they're not salvageable?
Yeah, how can they be too big to fail? Well, all it means is they just have more computer access entries.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, and it's what really, what do they produce? What real wealth do they give the world? They're like maggots, just living off the life force and blood of a host.
Yes. Well, what are your thoughts on what's going to happen around the world? I know I may be putting you on the spot, but it's evident that there are several things afoot. They're crashing the U.S. economy. They are playing games with oil. Pharmaceutical companies are up to their scalps in corruption, just like the oil companies. The same thing. There's really no difference, and they're in lockstep with them because of how much petroleum plays a role in the pharmaceutical industry as well. The collapsing of the American economy, the destruction of the housing market, and the raiding of pension funds, not to mention 401ks that just serve as investment vehicles for people. What do you see happening, Drew?
Well, I see that the tragedy is the vast majority of Americans really have no idea how it's happening and why it's happening. And again, that's by design. They're just going to sit there and then suddenly realize that, golly, that their $100 bill isn't worth a nickel. That's coming. There's no doubt about it's coming. So what do we need to do to focus? Well, again, it's designed, Don, to have mass chaos and mass unrest, because it's only through this this grand movement of protest of chaos that they can actually make their new order come out of the chaos. So indeed, that's the plan, and I see it spreading. The war games that will be going on very soon there in the Korean Peninsula. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, there really is no end to the Korean conflict. There's just a ceasefire. There's never an official treaty. No side actually won. No side capitulated. It's just a ceasefire. You know, so it can start a shooting war of epic proportions, especially now that China has modern weaponry. That's a key thing. No longer, 25 years ago, China, though it had superior numbers, it didn't have the technological parity. They do now. And, of course, the designer viruses, the designer biological weapons, Don, are manufactured in China, and indeed they do have the capability to unleash agents on America and Canada and Australia and wipe out 200, 300 million people so that they can again just come into vacant lands and vacant buildings. And again, that's the gambit, the way that I see it happening. Because again, who are the people behind the Chinese Communist Party? Who are they? Again, it goes back to George Soros and that whole group led by Solomon Altler and others of agents of the Rothschild Ashkenazi Jews again. You know, it ought to just make everybody just live it to know that the oil of Iraq, the oil is all going to China under contract. Okay, Saddam Hussein toppled American men and women, died, fought and bled and died in Iraq. For what? So that China could get their oil. That's the reality, ladies and gentlemen.
And all that came on the heels of Iraq and Iran fighting with each other, which was provoked by the CIA, no doubt. And the bankers, of course. 8 years of war they had. People being sent back after they recovered from their injuries. I'd met some of those people. And they ended up coming to the United States eventually. I can tell you that, we also have to look at the larger macro scale and who's behind all of this stuff. And it's not just a geopolitical issue, but it becomes a galactic issue. That's the part that people are going to have to get a handle on. That's the truth that's going to be coming out. And then you're going to see these people that everybody fears so much as nothing more than agents for somebody that they probably, if they're going to fear somebody, that's who they should fear. But if you have God on your side, it's going to be a different story, isn't it?
Well, I would believe so.
I mean, they're attacking people's religious faith. This is what you can see. You could see this when they put the no-legged Mac Daddy, as I now call him, in office. How did they do that? They made Americans fall in love with black athletes. Now, I'm not slighting black athletes. I'm just saying they made sure that they made idols out of basketball stars and football players, musicians, actors. They made a lot of stars. And then they brought a guy out who's not even one. He's not even a member of that group. Hereditarily, he's not a black man. He's not American, and he's not African, and he can't be. There is no such thing as an African American anyway. But they're fomenting the foundation for a race war between blacks and whites. Personally, I don't think the average black person out there actually cares. Obama's thugs that they've hired, the Acorn thugs, that they use to intimidate people that go vote and hound them at the schools and wreak the havoc in the communities. Those are the ones that are doing his bidding, but they're not, they can only participate in the chaos that they've been building the foundation for. And then they're turning Muslims against Christians. You see, they're going to have all the people at each other's throats while they just sit back and count money and put all this together. But it's the bigger picture. It's the story behind the story. I suppose we'll have to cover that on another show. You know what I'm alluding to.
I do. And let's do that. Golly, look at the time. It's creeped up on us, Don.
It has flown by. But tell us, who do you have on your show tomorrow as your guest?
I don't have a guest schedule. In fact, I've got so much to cover on a monologue structure that I want to go into more of this mathematical economy structure and then go into what Lincoln said. Well, he didn't call it executive orders back in 1865, but what he gave to the Congress and Senate as far as his backing of his greenbacks is amazing, and it's quite brilliant, as a matter of fact, in my opinion. So we just combine this with again the coinage being, we got to get back to some value in the coinage as a pegging of the dollar, and then we just can expand that by mathematical ratios and formulas that make complete and total sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'll be going into tomorrow, and just to see what breaks between now and then as far as news.
You know, as an afterthought, they're allowing Ron Paul to start up the rhetoric again about absolving the Federal Reserve or auditing the Federal Reserve. And I think their intention is really to just do away with it totally. Mm-hmm. And so they'll use that as a smoke and mirrors ploy to get people paying attention, give them the hope that the Federal Reserve is going to be absolved. But at the same time they do that, they'll remove the constitutionality of the U.S. Treasury at the same time and say, well, we've decided that we have to do this with a world currency. That's the only thing that's going to stop war and the only thing that's going to stop terrorism. And, you know, they'll spin it sort of like that.
Indeed.
So, I appreciate you being on the show, and I'll be listening to your show tomorrow with bated breath, as they say.
Okay, well, very good, and good evening, Don. It's been a pleasure. It's always good to talk with you.
Okay, and anything new posted on your site before we say goodbye?
I did post the 1865 Senate document that Abraham Lincoln had given, and I think it's again very, very important now at this time and date, almost 150 years later, to go back to the basics with it.
Okay, and your site is atrueot.com.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Okay, and I find it right there at the top, I suppose, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, very good. Well, thanks for being on the show. I wish you a good night, and we'll see you next Monday.
Thank you, Don. Be safe. God bless you.
You too.
Good night.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Dr. A. Truot, Ph.D., special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at BBS Radio. Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my guest will be Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.